Good morning, everybody. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our Amerigroup MCO monthly call. Brandon is off today. If you were on the earlier call with Iowa Total Care, he became a new father very early this morning, and everybody is doing very well. So I will be with you today for this call. And we'll start like Brandon does each of these calls and kind of see who's with us from Amerigroup. Who all do we have with us this morning?
Good morning. This is Angela.
Hi, Angela. Welcome.
Good morning. This is John.
Hi, John.
Julie Stewart's on. Oh, sorry, John. And Julie Stewart.
Are you expecting any other team members? Is Danielle joining?
I sent a message to her earlier this week and again this morning. I'm not exactly sure if she is joining, but we'll go ahead and send her another message.
All right, perfect. So we'll go ahead and start this as we typically do, and we'll turn it over to Amerigroup to give us any updates since we met last month.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate the opportunity to join the Iowa Healthcare Association again this morning, and I'm looking forward to the dialogue today. The overarching update is the continued implementation of the state plan amendment services and supports, expanded services and supports for the COVID-19 pandemic. Public health disaster declarations have been extended. And we're continuing to work side by side with the Iowa Medicaid Enterprise and Iowa Total Care to implement them, including the COVID relief rates for nursing facilities, as well as the COVID relief rates that are for other providers. More and more, we're engaged with the state, Iowa Total Care, and local public health on communication about vaccination, particularly toward those individuals on Medicaid who may be homebound under many maybe a very, very broad definition. So all of that work continues to move forward. You'll hear, I think, more and more communication from the Office of the Governor, Director Kim Reynolds, or Director Kelly Garcia from Department of Human Services, as well as Iowa Medicaid, providing updates about vaccinations. And we're very heartened to see the outbreak reduction among nursing facilities down toward, I think, the lowest levels that we've seen since the beginning of the pandemic back in March of 2020. The health plan continues to operate. Our core benefits as usual, continuing to meet our standard turnaround times. I just wanted to call out the last IME Iowa Health Link quarterly report that reported out a new dashboard aspect on turnaround times, claims adjudication, grievance and appeals, as well as new breakdowns in members served in all of the LTSS settings and broken down by the both Iowa Total Care and Amerigroup. So that's posted on the website that IME has posted it on a quarterly basis and is publicly available each quarter. So I'm going to pause there and ask if there are any other updates that Julie or Angela or any of the other Amerigroup members that might have joined since we got started, if there are updates that they'd like to share.
This is Julie. Nothing for me today. Thank you.
I don't have anything either.
All right. So we'll go ahead then and jump into the questions that were submitted ahead of time. And I think I have one question that came in later that would not have gotten submitted, and we'll ask that at the end. So question one, is there a current project being started and or already in process for January 2021 with the 2021 claims reprocessing for providers who had claims billed and paid at old rates? These would be claims that processed prior to the MCOs having the rate loaded. When can providers expect that this project be completed by?
Sorry, I had to find the unmute button. Very quickly, we do have a response from our ops team providing us with an update on this particular item, and let me get to that. Yes, Amerigroup has received and loaded updated January 2021 quarterly nursing facility rates. This file was received February 1st of 2021 and it was updated in our claim system by February 12th. Since this project did include retrospective rates, claims that were sent to be reviewed for under and over payments also on February 12th, 2021. As a reminder, if claims are not billed in accordance where there was an increase, corrected claims initiated by the provider will be required on the previously submitted claim to adjust to the new rate.
Thank you for that. The hospice provider still having a lot of difficulties getting claims to process and pay with Amerigroup after moving the NFNPI to filed 77 from box 80 on claims. Provider has confirmed with clearinghouse that the information is being sent with the accurate information in field 77, but Amerigroup continues to deny the provider's claim, stating missing or invalid information. Has this issue been fixed yet?
So on this, a little bit of a layered response, and do definitely encourage the specific provider who submitted this question to get back in touch with their community relations or their provider relations representative. There's no fix that's required on Amerigroup's side as there's no defect in the edit. As a reminder, the 10-digit NPI and only the 10-digit NPI of the nursing facility or intermediate care facility is to be inputted in field 77 only. Please reference the updated billing guidance available on Amerigroup Iowa provider website where this is articulated. And I can pull that up and put it in chat when we get into the unscripted questions. Also, ops team wants to remind folks to do not include the name of the facility. Please also check in with the nursing facility and ICF ID to ensure that you're utilizing the accurate and most up-to-date NPI that they are enrolled in with IME and contracted with Amerigroup.
Thanks, John. Number three, Amerigroup continues to pay for coinsurance claims for nursing facilities when they should be paid at zero. Has this known issue found a resolution yet?
All right, I've got a bit of a lengthy response to this one and asked Julie to chime in if the ops response is not complete. So here's what we're seeing from the operational side. First off, Amerigroup is evaluating the scenarios where EOB are attached to skilled care claims and the claim is being processed as primary when the claim really should be coordinated. Amerigroup is also assessing overpayment projects to identify these, but invite providers to follow federal guidance indicating 60 days notice to turn in overpayments that are self-identified. As it stands today, these claims do often require high amounts of manual intervention. The MCOs have continued to work with IME to work toward a more straightforward automated solution to this. This would include identifying the identification of a unique revenue code that would clearly identify what should be considered a custodial or skilled revenue code. Presently, since there is no unique revenue code bill type differentiating the two, it makes any precise processing edits almost an impossibility. So we have done what we can. We are now working with our state partner to align a configuration that is a little bit more like what they do.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, we have a message from Julie that her call dropped and she's calling back in.
Oh, okay. Perfect. This next question is lengthy, so bear with me here while I read it. Recoupment project letter ID number 5798279, project number 1036258. They are trying to recoup large amounts from agencies. In January, John from Amerigroup advised that if our claims needed to be resubmitted for the large recoupment projects, that we had to do so by February 15th. I submitted corrected claims for all of them that we had, over 100 claims. Some of them have been taken back and repaid correctly. Some have been just taken back. Some are being denied for either timely filing or as a duplicate, but my biggest concern is that we have a large amount that they have paid again without taking back the original payment. What is the status of this project and others like it, requesting funds for other insurance from several years ago when most of the time the claim had been paid appropriately?
Yeah, I appreciate the length of the question and the opportunity to address this. I've got some responses from the ops team that I think will help. First off, Amerigroup has and will be looking for claims submitted as corrected claims specific to the members, dates of service, and providers where the exceptions to the project were identified. Amerigroup is looking for those claims that were submitted as corrections but ultimately denied for timely filing and or duplicate, but have updated the diagnosis code or the condition code as corrections. So the first project was initiated February 5th of 2021 and went through on February 12th. At this time, 442 claims were reprocessed amongst the providers. Amerigroup had originally identified February 15th, 2021 as the drop dead to have corrected claims submitted, but we are extending that date out. Another claims project is in the works this week and is it's expected to be completed. The reprocessing is expected to be completed in the next 2 weeks.
Thank you for that. Amerigroup has denied our COVID adjustment claims as duplicate when we only did the 217 adjustment bill type on the first claim and then did the 213 bill types on the additional claims. Even though this is how their instructions said to bill them, the 213 bill type claims denied as duplicate. Do we need to wait for the first 217 claims to process before submitting the other claims? This would drag the process out for months as they're aren't processing those adjustments claims very quickly. They seem to process better before using 217 bill type on all claims. Is it okay to continue submitting all of the COVID adjustment claims as a 217 bill type?
Yeah, this is a, appreciate the question and the detail that was provided and sending that to us ahead of the meeting. Our ops team has requested a report asking for all claims that fit this description, billed with corrected claims. If there are errors, we'll have them resubmit for automatic reprocessing. Although it could be in manual processing errors like we've seen historically where credit claims are denied as timely filing or denied as duplicates. So I appreciate your bringing this to our attention. There are a couple additional comments that our ops team wanted to share. It may be helpful for me to drop this into, well, this is awfully long for chat. It may be helpful for me to send this to you and to Brandon to circulate And I'll just go through this really quickly, Julie. It's the first comment is that it is only appropriate to build 217 or frequency 7 as a corrected claim when an actual claim has been submitted. If there is no original claim on file, the claim will be denied, indicating as such. Also, it is required that the claim ID you are correcting is also input into the claim. There are a couple of other observations the ops team wanted to share with this one. Some of the other reminders are ensure that accurate billed charges are being billed specific to the CRR on CRR added on payments and added to the nursing facility base rate. Also, ensure there is a unique claim line specific to the additional CRR payments. I'm going to pause there. Double check to see if Julie is back. Angela is on the phone. Julie says that she can't get connected. Just a quick program note for you guys.
Okay.
I think those are all the pre-submitted questions, but you said you had another one?
Yeah, I did have one come in from one of our public health departments. It looked like they are working with both MCOs to get lists of individuals with disabilities living in home settings. They didn't say this in this email, but I'm going to guess this may be in reference to possibly working through COVID vaccination issues. The Amerigroup rep didn't seem to be very helpful. The number she provided them was the general phone number. I'm hoping that the rep today would be able to provide more guidance with possibly a name or a contact person they could get in touch with yes. regarding their utilization management department, or at least that was the department that they used with Iowa Total Care to get assistance.
We are Sarah Lynn Heston in our provider solutions team is proactively outreaching to public local county public health departments on this matter specifically, and I will drop her email address into the chat. But it'd be helpful to know what county this came from so that we can bump this up her list of calls. She has been doing those for about 5 days now, and 99 counties. She's slowly working her way through that. But I appreciate the outreach on this one. This is definitely in line with what the expectations are of our state customer, and we'll be happy to follow up.
Yeah, this is Des Moines County Public Health Department.
Okay, I will flag that with Sarah Lynn. I'll put her email in the chat.
Thank you so much, John. And that is the questions submitted ahead and that came in a little bit later. So we can head over to the chat function. And it looks like out of the gate, we're have an EVV question. So how should the provider address any rounding rule EVV claims? If it was a 5-unit visit, shows as a 5-unit in CareBridge, and it was billed by CareBridge as 4 units, for example, how does the provider address needing payment for the additional unit? Do they adjudicate this claim, reconsideration, appeal?
Without Julie on the Julie Stewart on the line, I'm not sure we have anybody here to address this. I'll see if she can get reconnected back into this and come back around to this question. Otherwise, could you put it into the chat so that we can do a follow-up on this?
Yes, I can.
And for sure, reach out to your own provider solutions representative, on this matter too.
All righty. Julie, glad to report this issue has been resolved. Hospice RB claims. Julie prompted PR rep to reach out finally.
And I see Julie is back on, so I will hand that off to her.
The first question.
Hey, I had to call on my phone, so I didn't hear the question and I can't read the chat, so I apologize.
I'll read it. It says, it's an EVV question. So how should a provider address any rounding rule issues with the EVV claims? If it was a 5-unit visit and it shows as a 5 units in CareBridge and it was billed by CareBridge as 4 units, for example, how does the provider address needing payment for the additional unit? Do they adjudicate this claim, do a reconsideration, appeal?
Let me see what I have on that. I mean, it won't do any good to, based on how you check in and check out, that's going to be the, how it's rounded. And I think I have specific information, but I have to find it.
Okay, we'll let you do that and we'll keep moving through the chat here. When you do have the name and MPI number in box 77 and you still denying the claims? So is, John, did you say in box 77 it can only be the MPI?
That's correct. Yeah, it can only be the MPI. No, if you put the name in the box as well, it will deny.
Okay.
So just the MPI, and then make sure, I think he probably said this too, but make sure that you have the right MPI, because sometimes we've noticed they change, or they just, sometimes just the wrong MPI gets entered in the box.
Thank you. AmeriVantage D SNP program require episodic billing, or can we continue to bill like we did for Medicaid, home health agency? Also, do we need different authorization for the AmeriVantage claims from the Medicaid claims?
I do not know the answer to that one off the top of my head.
And this is Danielle. I'm on. I don't know the answer as well.
Is that something that you could maybe shoot Brandon an email on when you do know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. If
we can get those questions then. And then just to go back, we have guidance on the rounding rules. And so I will just send those over as well.
Okay. We can
send them to Brandon or Julie. I don't know how long Brandon's going to be out, but do you want those sent to?
Yeah, he's checking email. It can go to Brandon.
Okay.
We continue to receive an overpayment letter, project 1049140. I sent a dispute letter over 30 days ago, but still no response. I called 2 times already and was told still under review. How long does it take to resolve this issue?
So you won't get, you don't get a receipt that like they've got your dispute. I know that's been an issue in the past. If I understand correctly, they're saying they sent in documentation or something to indicate they were disputing the overpayment.
Correct. And so they've been waiting 30 days since that dispute letter went over.
Yep.
Do you know what a time frame, a normal time frame would be to receive an answer?
I might be able to find that too for you. But not off the top of my head.
Okay. Let me see. Does AmeriGroup plan to implement the overpayments module in availability for Medicaid and coinsurance overpayments?
I don't know what that's referencing.
So it sounds like they're able to work through some of their overpayment issues on straight Medicaid, maybe through Availity, but they can't do that for the coinsurance.
Any overpayments, you can't file a payment dispute through Availity. It has to go through, you can't reprocess a claim for overpayment, if that makes sense. You have to go through the dispute process, which is separate than a payment dispute.
Janet, if you have anything further on that, throw that in the chat if we need to address that question in a different way. We received letters as well requesting recoups for old claims for missing EOBs from primary insurances. I submitted appeals on these, but I only heard back on a few stating that the decision was overturned. The rest have not yet recouped, but I also haven't heard a decision on the appeal. How will I know how to handle these claims?
And I guess this is Danielle, I'll step in. I guess I need to see the claims if they were clearly billed incorrectly or was it an error before any additional decisions can be made.
So can Peyton reach out to you, Danielle?
Yes, I can view the electronic. I can look at the claim to see if the information was clearly on the claim correctly.
Would you mind just putting your
email?
Sure. Yeah, how they
gotcha
with you in the chat. That would be great. What's the recommended method to have the coinsurance claims that paid to be reprocessed and paid at zero? Web appeal, and Janet, I think this was who the other question was. Web appeal as a claim dispute or through the cost containment unit who will forward the claims for reprocessing?
If I understood correctly, if it's truly an overpayment because we paid on primary but we shouldn't have, I think that's what you said.
So the coinsurance claims that should be that reprocessed that paid to be reprocessed at zero. So they shouldn't have paid.
It would have to go through the recoupment, I believe. So it's really hard when I can't see the question. I'm sorry. I hate to ask the same question over and over, but I cannot get my Zoom to work this morning.
So again, what's the recommended method to have the coinsurance claims that paid to be reprocessed and paid at zero amount? Web appeal as a claim dispute or through the cost containment unit?
I would start with the cost containment unit or reach out to your PR rep. A web appeal, I don't believe will work. I know we have had issues with that where they've been inappropriately paid when they shouldn't have been.
Okay, Julie, let me step in. I think she put another note in and she's saying is room and board claims and the client participation, the wrong client participation was taken out. So I guess.
Oh, client, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I see, mm-hmm. Client participation. Okay,
so
thank you, Danielle.
I think that's like a normal appeal, correct? If it was incorrectly processed, it's not really an overpayment. Am I correct, Julie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a normal appeal via
yep,
the portal,
you.
The
thank
web,
you.
Or your representative.
Where on the website can I find guidance for billing the COVID relief days? On one of my claims, the client participation was taken, but this was already taken on the room and board claim. Also, regarding room and board claims, was told by Danielle, need to submit claim with a Q5003. We have always billed with a T, as in Tom, 2046 with modifier GZ.
Okay, so this is Danielle. So I did have some communications with claims after recently on COVID claims. So resend me that claim because when I talked to one of the claims examiners, Some of the claim errors on the COVID claims were manual errors where they had to update the claim processes. So let me see that claim again before I can answer anything again.
Okay. And Danielle put her information in. And Janet was just clarifying there. Somebody is just saying we've been using the retraction form. John was talking to Des Moines Public Health there. Perfect. We've made it to the bottom.
Cool.
Any other questions for our AmeriGroup representatives? Lauren is asking, that moved too quick, the second part of her question. So let me scroll up. On one of my claims, the client participation was taken, but this was already taken on the room and board claim. Also, so the second part is also regarding room and board claims, was told need to submit with a Q5003. We've always billed with the T204. So should they be billing with the Q or the T? And I believe that question's for Danielle.
I think, Julie, there's only one T code we allow now. Am I correct? Is that the T2046 or?
Yeah, and I mean, really, we've stopped using the TO, the 2046, I think it is, like 2 years ago. So it's an older code. If you bill with the Q codes, then you don't have to worry about authorization or potential authorization denials. So.
So the Q5003 would be accurate.
That is the correct, yes. Yep.
And I think, I guess maybe they're getting these errors, like you, Julie said, because the preferred code is the Q, but if you still bill, I guess sometimes the claims get processed correctly, and then sometimes, you know what I mean, because of the code or because of the processor, you can have, you know what I mean, incorrect processing claims.
Correct, yep.
Okay.
It's a very old code.
Looks like somebody was commenting, any overpayment appeal will be denied no matter the reason if you do a regular appeal on the website. The only way to dispute an overpayment is a paper claim that needs to be mailed or faxed. There's no way to dispute an overpayment on the website. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
That is accurate.
And then we have someone else that says, we've been using the overpayment refund notification form. Thanks, John. Why are our 2021 NF claims now paying at a rate that's from 2017?
I can only think that that is a bad claims processing error by a processor.
So should we be reaching out to their provider rep?
Yes.
Okay. We are using the recoupment request form for any and all overpayments as well, since the web appeal won't work on those and we aren't mailing paper claims in. Okay. I would advise against refunding any credit balances and utilizing the refund form. We were advised to do this by one of our provider reps. Then all of the overpayments we refunded were recouped. And then we were told by another rep that we should be refunded, that we never should be refunding anything. I think that was a comment. Back to the Q code, T code, should they also be used in the G as in GOAT, Z as in zoo modifier for room and board, GZ?
I'm not sure why you use a GZ, and that's just me. Other people can step in for assistance, but I really don't know.
I've never heard of that either. I don't think it's a requirement. for us because it's never come up. So.
So it wouldn't.
I don't think it's a requirement.
Have to be on there then, correct?
It does not.
Correct.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, it does not have to be. Would if it is on there, is it going to throw it out? Is it going to deny? Do you know?
It could. I think depends on the processor. You just never know. I'm just, you know what I mean? You just never know if a person's going to touch it and look at that and think something's wrong, or the system may reject it. So, you know, if it's not required, don't use it.
So somebody was just clarifying. So you are saying the T2046 shouldn't be used for room and board, and that we should use the Q5003. And that is correct. That is what they stated.
And just to clarify, we're talking the room and board for the hospice provider, correct? Not just straight room and board.
I don't know that this is Julie with
Q code. Is a hospice code to indicate that the person is living in the nursing facility and we're billing for the per diem, the 95% of the per diem of the nursing facility.
So Q5003 is hospice room and board.
That is a hospice code. Yes.
Looks like Kristen is replying to someone there. Yes, Q5003 for hospice room and board pass-through claims. That is what they were referring to.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions for our representatives? Give it another 30 seconds or so. All right. I am not seeing any other questions coming through the chat. Excuse me. I want to thank our Amerigroup reps for being with us each month and partnering with us. So thanks for everybody for being on. And as always, if you have questions in between, feel free to reach out to Brandon or I, and we will get those answered for you. Thanks again for joining, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.